Our scripture reading today is Psalms 19 and Luke 4, 14 through 21. Might we bless these readings to our hearts and to our minds. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a companion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is a great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The second scripture is Luke 4, 14 through 21. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went into the synagogue. As was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Well, this morning's New Testament scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. It will be familiar to many of you, I suspect. The Apostle Paul writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as God wanted them. If there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all have the ability to speak in tongues? Do all have the ability to interpret? No. No. But together, we have greater gifts. The words of the Apostle Paul. So it's a nicer day today. And the Apostle Paul has reminded us that we all belong here. This is the third Sunday after Epiphany. It's a one in which we commemorate the importance of all the members of God's creation. A Sunday when we are reminded that no matter how people choose to worship, that all religions are founded on the golden rule that teaches kindness and love and caring for one another. In our lectionary, it is labeled Ecumenical Sunday. Ecumenical. Everybody. So, let our minds be open as we pray. O Creator, we are here to broaden our minds, to grow our hearts, and correct our inaction or our negative actions. Help us to focus our lives through the question, what can I do to bring positive energy into the world today? We know that you brought us into creation to be good stewards, caretakers, to watch over all the wonderful resources you have provided. And we gladly undertake this task, Lord. Our light will be a reflection of your light for all in this world to see. Amen. So as the Apostle Paul wrote, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Each of you is called to this congregation, to this church, not only on Sunday, but every day of the week. See, you get to chat with your friends, you get to hang out, you get to get a donut, a cup of coffee. It's a pretty cool place. Churches usually have food. You know, we're pretty good about making sure we're sustained in our body. You get to come and read, but the whole bottom line of that is not to eat. It's to regenerate. It's to regenerate our love batteries, our caring batteries, our energy batteries, to take us back out into the community. You know, folks talk about Sunday as a mountaintop experience. You come into the mountaintop and you see the beautiful scenery and it's wonderful and you just feel, God is so good. But you got to go back out those doors and you got to go back into whatever your week is. And you know, sometimes our weeks just aren't pretty. There are things that frustrate us about our weeks. There's things that make our weeks difficult or boring or hard. But you just take that energy that you get today in fellowship with your fellow Christians and friends and just recharge those batteries to get through that week, that valley. The psalmist reminds us, too, that we're called together for discernment among our friends who speak in love, even if it grates on our human ears sometimes. You know, a long time ago, I kind of stopped worrying about what people said to me. That happens when you've supervised people for 30 years. But it always would click into my brain hours later. And I would go, oh, should I have been offended by that? Oh, well, too late now. And I think that is the key piece, because sometimes when people say what we don't want to hear, even if it's our friends, in a loving way, it is difficult. It grates on our ears. It hurts our heart. But here, with love and gentleness, maybe they can help a little bit. You know, Jesus came into the synagogue on the Sabbath day in Nazareth, and he was invited to read as the Jewish tradition. And so when he came forward in the synagogue to read, he was handed a scroll. And when he opened the scroll, he found that he was to read from Isaiah, a chapter we would now label Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2a, a scripture that, well, let me just read it to you. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's how it ended. And the congregation said, what? What do you mean it's a scripture fulfilled in our hearing? That's not normal. What? The congregation asked. Because, you know, they're probably a little bit like us. You know, yeah, we're going to read scripture now. Yeah. Okay. Go on, Kathy, read some scripture. Yeah, okay. He's all done, and they hear those words. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What? Who was reading today? Did anybody pay attention? Wait, what did they say? Who was reading? What? The Spirit of the Lord is on me? What? Wait. Now, this is an interesting turn of events. But who was reading? And I'm sure somebody said, oh, who knows? What's that Jesus kid? It's just probably a coincidence. It's just happenstance, you know? He just read what was written there. Yeah, but he said it was fulfilled in our hearing. You know, that's the power the Creator has. Sometimes those words have intention. Sometimes they provide power and regeneration. Sometimes they grate on our ears just a little bit. But it is that coming together, sharing what we've heard, encouraging one another. It's a little bit like cooking. We add a little energy. We add a little faith. We add a little light. We add a little love. And out we go. Just the way God wanted us to go. So we plant a little love, and we plant a few seeds, and we read a little bit, and we learn about the gifts that we were given, and we become part of a group. We begin to work together. You all do wonderful work together. Just look at the things that you have, the organizations you've helped this year. The children that came to the trunk and treat and had a great time. The Christmas gifts. That's what the world is. The world is a complex interweaving of dependencies and relationships, just like you, only on a bigger scale. But it takes each and every person and each and every person's gifts to keep us moving forward. Whether you play the organ, or you take down the Christmas decorations, or you say prayers for others who need prayers, or if you take care of others, or you're just simply kind to one another when you come in on Sunday and you say hello and you talk to one another. All our activity together is important for our well-being. You see, that's how the power of love is created. One-on-one. One-on-many. Heart-to-heart. One heart to one heart. One heart to many hearts. And working together. Caring about each and every one of us. Even the ones who may rub us the wrong way just a little bit. Because, you know, when that person rubs us the wrong way just a little bit, who do you suppose is rubbing off our sharp edges? I'm thinking it wasn't a coincidence or a happenstance. I'm thinking that the good Lord sent that person to you to rub off those rough edges just a little bit. And sometimes for someone like me, it's got to smart a little bit to get my attention. Otherwise, I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'm going on. Monday's coming, headed to Monday. Yep, it's great, I'm done at church. Okay, we're cool, cool. What am I going to do on Monday? Oh, yeah. Patty said to me yesterday, maybe I need to think about that. Maybe the good Lord was saying to me, hey, Carol, you irritated somebody, you didn't even know it. You see, that's how it works. It doesn't come with a big sign. It doesn't come in an embossed invitation. It doesn't come like everybody gets along all the time. We're just wonderful, happy, happy, happy people. There's going to be rough times. That's how we grow together. That's how we come together. That's what regenerates those batteries, those energy batteries, those love batteries. So take good care of one another. Keep up the good work. Keep prioritizing sticking together. Keep prioritizing all of the gifts we have so that everyone feels welcome, so that everyone can be a part. Help them find their way. They'll help you find your way. Because the body works better with all its parts. And a congregation works better with all its parts. Amen.